You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Rob Brenton on the button, sports machine Sean Levine on the mic, and CDOT off today, which means my boy Dusty Likens is sitting in. When I saw that Tony La Russa got hired by the White Sox, first of all, my first thought was nepotism. I was like, I don't know who this Tony La Russa Jr. cat is. I never heard of him, but he got the job because of his dad. You know, like a Lane Kiffin type situation. But it's the actual Tony La Russa, and he got his original stint with the White Sox. I was just looking, was in 1979. I don't know about you guys, but I consider the old school White Sox at this point, like Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura, that was the mid-90s. And
that's right.
And he was their manager, Dusty, like 15 or 16 years before Frank Thomas came around, and now he's their manager again. Am I the only one that finds this absolutely insane?
I mean, he knew Harold Baines when Harold Baines was 28, and Harold Baines, like, what, he's like 60 now?
He's 100, so, yeah. It's and didn't you say that he's now the oldest coach in all of professional sports right now?
I would say American is professional sports. Yeah, he's 76, Rob, I think is what we said he was, 76.
My
and like
goodness.
The next oldest coach in professional sports is Pete Carroll at 69.
I guess I would just question, like, what's the long-term plan with a guy that's that old? And I don't need any of your political text sending in right now, by the way. The number's 913-576-7610. Right. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm asking seriously. Like, if you think that you've got this team that you're building, but in a couple of years, the manager is going to be, you know, 80 years old.
Right.
What's the long-term plan? Because the White Sox, I feel like they're kind of the up-and-coming team, at least in the division.
No, they're ready. I mean, you saw the offense of what it was in a 60-game span. But the thing about it is, I feel like if I'm just spitballing a theory here, they're going for a guy who's been very successful with many teams, with lots of talent that is either on the verge or ready to make that stand. And the White Sox are there. I mean, that lineup's great. That pitching staff is on the verge of being, like, prolific if Kopech can come back. And they want Tony La Russa there so they can have somebody there that has somewhat of experience. I'm just confused at why it's Tony Lou. I mean, there's other names that I could have chosen, I think, over him. 77 coming out of the front office in Arizona. It is what it is for the Chicago White Sox.
He was the manager of the Bash Brothers with Jose Canseco,
yeah,
and Mark McGwire back before we knew that Mark McGwire was a cheater. And that happened like a decade later. It's just, it'd be like Dick Vermeil getting hired by somebody this offseason. Like if Eric Bieniemy gets passed up and somebody hires Dick Vermeil. But anyway, let's get into the football. Speaking of Dick Vermeil, where Patrick Mahomes, I feel like every time, guys, he plays a team that passed up on him, he uses that as fuel. Because at this point, what are you going to do? You're the MVP of the league. Everybody knows you're the best player. You're the $500 million man. You got the contract, the biggest in the history of the NFL. You won the Super Bowl. At this point, there's not a lot of things necessarily that you're playing for or trying to accomplish. So it's those little things that he kind of, I don't want to say gets hung up on, because I actually like that. Now that he's playing, like now that he's facing one of these teams in the New York Jets, I was looking back. So why would they not have drafted him back in 2017? The answer is not good. The answer is basically because they had Josh McCown and I believe Christian Hackenberg. Is that right, Rob? Was Christian Hackenberg there too?
Hackenberg and former Baylor quarterback Bryce Petty.
Bryce Petty, yeah.
Needs Mahomes?
Yeah, don't want to forget about him. So we always talk about this team and that team passing up on Pat. So here were the players that were taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes. And it's crazy because half of these guys aren't going to end up getting a contract with their current team. Not another contract. So you got Myles Garrett. He obviously is or already got paid. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Trubisky, that was going south really quick. Solomon Thomas, honestly, is he good? Does he play? Solomon Thomas, 49ers. I have no idea who that guy even is. Leonard Fournette already plays on his second team. Corey Davis, Titans, pretty good. Jamal Adams, good, but already got traded, so he's not going to get that second contract with the team. Mike Williams of the Chargers, he's okay. Christian McCaffrey, obviously, one of the best, if not the best running back in football. John Ross, once out of Cincinnati, or did he get picked up by somebody? And then you got Patrick Mahomes. So it's one of those things where all these teams obviously are kicking themselves to different levels. But if you didn't have a quarterback, Dusty, like the Jets, right? Yeah. And it's not a Patrick Mahomes thing. It's a quarterback thing. Even if they would have got Deshaun Watson or whoever they would have got, it's crazy to think that that was the year teams decided, yeah, we'll let that guy slide, right? And it worked out perfect for the Chiefs in the next 12 years and the fan base here. Although, think about the Browns, for example. Like, if you look at, well, Cleveland's always getting a quarterback, right? And obviously, they had the number one pick, and they got Myles Garrett, and that's worked out well. Well, they had DeShone Kizer, all right? Like, they had DeShone Kizer, and they thought, nah, we're going to pass up on Patrick Mahomes. So, it feels like every time that he plays in one of these games, at this point, what's your fuel? You've done everything. You've won every trophy. It's the best team versus the worst team. Mm-hmm. It's this team passed up on me, and this is another one of those teams.
Yeah, this is a situation that goes beyond the whole hindsight is 2020, because this is just poor execution of homework. This is, hey, do your assignment if you're a school teacher. You give everybody the answers within the reading that they have, so everyone should literally get at least a 90%. You do that so you can see which kids don't do their readings. So then when they come back and every answer is blank or it's just completely false, but the other kids that actually did the readings know their homework. That's what Patrick Mahomes was with the Chiefs. Trading up for Trubisky, taking Leonard Fournette. I'm not mad about Jamal Adams or Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, those guys are, I mean, Jamal Adams isn't really doing it right now in Seattle since they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. But to flip the narrative, I guess, on Patrick Mahomes is that I've talked about this several times on like the Red Reaction show. You can hear Monday nights at 8 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio, but other things as well, is that there almost seems to be like a Michael Jordan type of drive when it comes to Patrick Mahomes when you think about people that are either under his skin. Like, you watched the Last Dance documentary, Sean. You saw what happened when Jordan found out that Karl Malone was the MVP.
Karl Malone.
Took it personally, right, Rob? And so the other thing about that is that when Mahomes plays these teams, and you got to give Rob some credit here. We did some numbers. He's played the Browns 23 of 32, 375, three touchdowns, one interceptions. Interception. Bears 23 of 33, 251, two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, no interceptions. 49ers, enough said. He's 2-0 against them with a Super Bowl win that we all know that was iconic and came from behind to win. Jaguars, who took Leonard Fournette, 42 of 71, 691, three touchdowns, two picks. And he broke Jacksonville. That's when they came in here calling Tyreek Hill a return specialist. They were laughing in the press conferences and saying, ask me after the game. And then Jacksonville was never the same. The Titans, they passed on him. 36 of 50, 446, three touchdowns, and he's known for the run. Broke them in the playoffs in the NFC Championship game. Cincinnati, 28 of 39, 358, four touchdowns, one interception for a combined record, Sean Levine, Sports Machine, 8-1, 15 touchdowns and four picks. Moral of the story, Mahomes holds a grudge on those that pass on him, and I can bring back the Baltimore game when all the experts said that the Baltimore Ravens were going to win and that they were the favorites. What did Mahomes do? Shrugged, just like Jordan shrugged against the Blazers. That's what he does. When you have a guy who has such natural God-given talent and is better than everyone, or as Therese Paylor calls him, the mythical unicorn, when those guys have that much talent and you give them the slightest bit of fire and desire, they go and torch you for an 8-1 record, 15 touchdowns and four picks.
Do you have to put mythical ahead of unicorn? I'm just asking. I'm pretty sure you don't. I don't think those things exist. I could be wrong.
Well, you're seeing one right now in Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, fair enough.
And how people missed on that, like, I get it, right? People miss on draft picks all the time.
Well, people missed on it even going back to, I asked him the other day when he came on how many teams like recruit him in college. Mm-hmm. And he said, see if you can find that clip, Rob. He said, I'm trying to remember the three teams. He said Texas Tech. I think he said Houston and Rice.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it's always the obvious. It's the Andrew Luck. It's the Peyton Manning. You know, it's the five-star guy that everybody likes. But something tells me that Patrick Mahomes should have just absolutely been jaw-dropping enough in high school for more schools than that to come his way.
Right.
And then he played well enough at Texas Tech that I think enough people should have said, see, more teams should have seen what the Chiefs saw. I feel like, who's to say that if the Chiefs didn't pick him, who knows how far he was going to slide? Like, we assume that he's going to be, what, the next pick, or that the Texans were going to take him? I don't know about that. Like, the Chiefs traded up, found their guy, and it wasn't like the obvious pick, because I think that of people listening right now, and honestly, if you're being honest, hit us up on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. Jump in your hot tub time machine just to the day of the draft. And I know everybody remembers what they were doing. Who did you want him to take? I wanted him to take Deshaun Watson. I was with Kling. I was doing part-time stuff here at 610. We were at the Chiefs draft party thing that they used to hold pre-COVID times for the season ticket holders. And everybody was kind of chilling because they were getting their free food and having drinks or whatever because the Chiefs weren't supposed to pick until real late. And then when they traded up, there was a buzz in the room. And I think the buzz was because everybody thought, oh, my gosh, we're going to get Deshaun Watson. We're going to get the guy that just won the national championship that we've all watched play college football. And I'll admit there were a few people in the room that were whispering Patrick Mahomes. But I'm curious, Texas right now, if you want to be honest, I think that most people at the time were saying Deshaun Watson. So it's not like it was the clear and obvious pick to take Patrick Mahomes. All I'm saying is it took some brass. It took a pair for somebody to actually pull the trigger, trade up, and do it. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs happen to be that team.
Yeah, I think the nerds, and I'm calling Jay Binkley out because he'll tell you the rest of his life that he had the Chiefs getting Patrick Mahomes in his mock draft.
I bet it was 80-20 Deshaun on draft
day. And so Deshaun was like the shiny new toy, right, because he had just won a title in Clemson against Alabama. He was super talented. Yeah. Everyone saw him on a main stage.
He won a lot more.
Right, and then Mahomes had the narrative of a Big 12 quarterback, and no Big 12 quarterback had ever been successful in the NFL. Like, that's just the fact. Like, everybody wanted to pass on that. And now that's completely changed, and that's part of the reason why maybe there's more fire in Pat Mahomes' game, because from day one, and again, I think he said in that shop episode with LeBron that he didn't start playing football until he was like a sophomore in high school or something like that, or he didn't really like start learning how to play quarterback, I think is what it was, until he was a sophomore in high school. So maybe that's a little bit of the recruiting process, but it's bizarre to me that people could have seen that Oklahoma game against Baker Mayfield and not seen like, okay, this can work in the NFL, especially now that more teams are running a spread-style offense that technically favors anything that Patrick Mahomes does.
We'll keep talking football as the show rolls on. In fact, Brian Baldinger is going to join the drive. Sean Barber is going to sit in for a while, and then we'll talk a little fantasy football. We'll get some fantasy advice with Benny Heiss. And the whole dog voice thing isn't over, because now that CDOT's gone, not only can I have people call in, I'm convinced that everybody has a dog voice. I just wonder how many people would be willing to go live on the radio in Kansas City and do what I did with Patrick Mahomes and do their dog voice. So we'll get that coming up later on in the show. But coming up next, there's a huge game. In fact, it's one of the better games of the entire season. It's the Ravens and the Steelers. Which one of those teams is a bigger threat to the Chiefs? I think it's pretty obvious. I'll tell you who it is next on The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6.
All right, so coming up, not this segment, but the next one, if you're man or woman enough to talk to all of Kansas City the same way that you talk to your dog, just for a second, because I just want to give myself some confidence that I'm not the only one in this city that has a voice for my dogs, and I'm pretty much that everybody does. You either, there's two different kinds of people. There's the people that would be willing to do it live on the radio coming up in about 5 or 6 minutes, and then there's the people that are lying to themselves. And I mean, if you're too shy, I don't blame you.
What's your dog voice?
You have to wait. You'll hear it coming
why
up.
Why do I have to wait?
You'll hear it.
You don't want to tease it?
No, you'll hear it coming up. You didn't. I asked Patrick Mahomes, Rob, play the audio for him. I mean, fire it up.
Like, does Mahomes talk to his dog?
No, I asked him. So Patrick Mahomes, obviously, he's very tight with his dogs, and they helped him out with his whatever it's called, the revealment, if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And he talked about how important it was to have his dogs be a part of it and all that. And so I asked him this question.
I have a different voice for my dogs. It sounds like this.
Hi, Hanky Nashy, Daddy's home. Oh,
yeah. Do you have a different voice for your dogs?
I don't think so necessarily. I know all Brittany
right,
does.
All right, cut it. It's just painful. It's painful.
Voice, but again, who knows, man? I'm just trying to.
I don't know. So he wanted to put you on blast so bad.
The greatest quarterback in the NFL history, LaVine gave him his dog voice.
I just don't believe him. Like, I think we all have a dog voice. So anyway, if you want to do that coming up in a few minutes, we'll take your phone calls. But before that, we get back into the football, because the best game on the schedule, probably the best game, I don't know, man, I'm looking at the schedule the rest of the year, this is definitely one of those type of games, Baltimore versus Tennessee. So Baltimore, obviously, their only loss was to the Chiefs. They got housed. And then Pittsburgh, I said going in they were going to be good. It was because of their defense, not so much because of their offense, which I thought would be good enough. Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's kind of found the fountain of youth a little bit, and they're scoring enough points with that defense, which I think is probably top three or four, where I think that Pittsburgh, this game is much more important for Baltimore, and let me tell you why. Not only does Baltimore have a loss, so if they are to lose this game, Pittsburgh is up in the win-loss column by two. They've also got that game in hand. So if the tiebreaker comes down to it, and we're halfway through the season, and we all agree Pittsburgh's a good team. So at that point, Baltimore's really looking up at Pittsburgh. Like, heading into the season, we said it was Kansas City and it was Pittsburgh. Well, at that point, it's going to be Kansas City and Pittsburgh with Baltimore really in the rearview mirror. At that point, the Chiefs will have beat them. Pittsburgh will have beat them. The Chiefs will have a loss, assuming they beat the Jets. You know, Baltimore will have two losses. And on top of that, if you really get out your microscope and look at the schedule coming up for Baltimore is brutal. Check this out. They got Pittsburgh. They got Indy. They got New England. They got Tennessee. All right, that's the Ravens schedule coming up, all right? Mm-hmm. That's the Baltimore schedule coming up. Pittsburgh, Indy, New England, Tennessee, Pittsburgh again, Cleveland. That is insanely tough. If you're Pittsburgh, on the other hand, let's say you end up slipping up in this game, right? So, and there's a chance that that happens. Their schedule is so much easier on the horizon. Check this out. So I just told you who Baltimore has to play. Here's who Pittsburgh has after this game. Mm-hmm. Dallas, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Washington, and then they got Cincinnati again a week after Buffalo. So my point is, if Pittsburgh loses this game, they're still sitting pretty damn good. They kind of bring themselves back to the pack with Kansas City and Baltimore. They'll all be one-loss teams, Tennessee, and it's going to be a jumble again. Mm-hmm. They can separate themselves with a win and be the last undefeated team. If Baltimore can't afford to lose this game, because Baltimore's probably going to lose a couple of more games in the next, I would say, month. And then all of a sudden, the path isn't you're going to be the number one overall seed like they were a year ago, 14-2 with the bye and all that. It's going to be a much more difficult wild card path on the road. Might have to come to Arrowhead. Fans might be back. Like, this is a big game for Baltimore.
Right. So, I mean, fans are still there. I think you're seeing more like there'll be more than 16,000 fans.
Who knows when the playoffs roll around?
Right. And I was telling Rob this earlier that, like, when we were talking about the NBA, like, we don't know what can happen come January. Like, right. We don't know what, like, it can either go back to the black hole where everything's shut down, or there can be some sort of like new development to where things are a little bit more lax. But to get back on topic, I think we all agree that the top three teams in the AFC are Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
correct?
In some form or fashion, yeah.
In that way, shape, or form. Some people don't believe that Pittsburgh's better than the Chiefs. I'm one of them. I think that Pittsburgh, though, does face the biggest threat to the Chiefs because Pittsburgh is big and physical on the outside. I mean, with Juju, with Deontay Johnson, and with Claypool, those are three big, big targets for Big Ben. Those are big guys. Deontay Johnson is a rising star. Juju, we all know about him. Claypool, who's 6'4", 265 pounds, and runs like a 4'4", flat, is a dangerous conception. Plus, they have a defense to go on the other side of that. And let's not sleep on James Conner. Plus, their coach and their quarterback both have experience winning a Super Bowl and going deep into the playoffs. Pittsburgh is your biggest threat as of right now. Baltimore, you kind of have that older brother mentality where you've beaten them at your house. You've also beaten them at their house where you were the underdog and Patrick Mahomes made you look foolish. So that's kind of there for Baltimore. So Baltimore, you get a little bit more lax on. But yes, this game is important because, Sean, I think it's a race when it comes to the end of the year. I think 13-3 is your record. And if you want to talk about easy schedules, I mean, the Chiefs have Tampa Bay in 3 weeks. They get the Jets, Carolina, they go on a bye, and then I believe they play Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. That is
Raiders first.
Raiders, I'm sorry. Yeah, Raiders in Las Vegas for the revenge game of week 5.
I don't think 13-3 locks you up. Like, most of the time,
I do. Say,
you think 13-3 locks you up for one seed? I don't think so.
I think the Chiefs could go 14-2. I don't think Pittsburgh will because, again, like the text line says, they'll beat up on each other between Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
And Cleveland.
Like, those are the AFC North is the best division in the AFC. But the thing about it is, the Chiefs' schedule is just absolutely atrociously easy moving forward.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay game is scary. Maybe there's a division game that's kind of scary, but you get the Chargers at home. You get the Broncos at home. You have to play the Raiders in Las Vegas, and you know they have blood tasted in that one. And then you play the Saints, the Falcons, and the Bucs. I mean, Carolina and the Jets, and that's it. So the Chiefs could go 14-2, and that for sure would lock up your number one seed. And again, there's only one team that gets a bye, and the way they do COVID testing now and the way that everything is prepped for it, having that home game is safe, and I think, Sean, it's a race to 13-3.
I don't think that it's going to be one of these things where anybody's sitting players toward the end of the season or the last couple of weeks. One, because, like you said, only one team gets that bye. So let's say that the Chiefs have the bye and they get the off week. You don't necessarily want to sit guys back-to-back weeks, but I don't think it's going to be the Chiefs go 15-1 and the next best team is 11-5 or something like that. I actually think it's going to be really jumbled at the top. If you told me that at the end of the year, Baltimore is the one seed and they go 13-3, remember, they got one loss right now. Remember, they went 14-2 last year and got the MVP. Right. That's not going to surprise you, right?
No.
What if I told you Pittsburgh, who's undefeated right now, ends up going 13-3 and gets the 1 seed? That's not going to shock you, right?
It would, because I don't see Pittsburgh lasting that long. I just don't trust Ben.
Oh, we
that
disagree
much.
There.
That's
do.
Fine.
What if I told you it was Tennessee, a team that almost beat Pittsburgh, who would have been undefeated, and they go 13-3? They don't have a very difficult schedule.
I would see that because the AFC South isn't as strong as it. As
that's
as,
what I'm saying. So I don't think that it's going to be just the Chiefs. And if you get to that magic number of 13, you win the division. Almost every. I don't know if there's ever been a time that a team has gone 13. Actually, I remember a year that it was Elway's Super Bowl season. I don't know if it was first or second.
98.
I think it was
98. They went crazy because 97 they were the wild card and beat the Chiefs.
It was whatever year the Chiefs went 13-3.
Yeah,
and the Broncos went 12-4.
I believe that's 97 year.
But I don't think that a team's ever gone 13-3 and not been the number one seed. Well, we'll have Rob, our cracker research producer over there, figure that out. I'd be very surprised if a team's ever gone 13-3. And not ended up, maybe something happened like when Carolina that year, they went 15-1. Maybe we're forgetting about a Vikings team right. or something. You know, and maybe it's happened, but it feels like most of the time 13 is a pretty safe number.
Yeah.
And 14 is a huge number. Right. I think it's going to take 14. I think there's going to be like one or two teams in the AFC. I know they're going to beat each other up. There's a lot of good teams, and we're halfway through the season. It's not okay. like I'm saying this after four games. Right. We're really getting there. That's Dusty Likens, Rob.
By the way, last year the Packers and Niners both 13-3. The Packers did not get the one seed at 13-3 because of the tiebreak.
Right. Now, the other thing I would say too is that out of those teams,
well, thanks for crushing that point. It didn't happen last year.
But what I'm saying is to that point that you made. Out of all those teams, don't you see the Chiefs being the only one that could possibly go 14-1 with their schedule? I know Pittsburgh, you said, is easy, but they got Baltimore at least twice, and they have Cleveland one more time. And I know they beat the bricks off Cleveland, and Baker plays terrible in big games. But don't you see out of all those teams, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Chiefs are in the driver's seat, I think, even still, even though they have a loss and Pittsburgh doesn't.
I would agree with that. There's no way Baltimore runs the table.
No.
Or only has one. They got, again, Pittsburgh, Indy, New England, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and then they got Cleveland. They could lose. The Baltimore team that I've seen could lose a couple of those games, like to the point where they're out of the conversation for the one seed. And that's what's going to happen as we kind of narrow the schedule. The weather gets colder and all that stuff. It's going to come down to probably a couple of these teams. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Baltimore, to me, I'd be shocked. I'm not saying anything that everybody else doesn't think right now. Doesn't end up one of the one seeds. I think Tennessee's going to eliminate themselves in the next couple of weeks. I don't think that they're that good. Baltimore's schedule is too tough. To me, it comes down to Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And I think that Pittsburgh probably wins this Baltimore game. Right. And then everybody's talking about that.
Correct.
Let's go to commercial because we got to, you know, pay the people to pay the sponsors. Oh, yeah. So do this. Hit me up 913-576-7610 because I'm not going to play my silly dog voice, at least until after the commercial break. But if you've got a voice for your dog, don't be shy. Now's the time. All of Kansas City wants to hear it. All you got to do, 913-576-7610. Tell Rob the name of your dog. He'll put you on hold. And then when I bring you on the air, just tell me in your normal voice the name of your dog and then how you speak to your dog right when you get home. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you get home, the golden retrievers, your two boys are in the backyard.
Give me an example.
You get off of work.
Hi, Kinesi. Daddy's home.
That type of thing. 913-576-7610. If you are man or woman enough to let Kansas City hear what that sounds like. And, of course, we'll get back into the sports where – Texas football had the number one recruit, no big surprise, although he decommitted. Nebraska football hasn't been good for a long time. Which one has fallen to further depths? University of Texas football or Nebraska football? And your doggy voice is coming up next right here on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
What's good in the neighborhood? Sports Machine, Sean Levine, Dusty Likens, Rob Brenton on The Drive, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Is tonight, Dusty, the big night that you meet? Who is it? Your girlfriend's, her pops, and her brothers?
Okay, I thought this was privately talked about in the bullpen.
Well, no.
Now, Friday night.
That's a difficult one. It's not just the dad. It's the dad and the brothers. Can't we maybe do, you know, individual meetings? Yeah, or
I'm confident.
Dive right in the deep end. All right.
It's got to be yourself, right? Can't be anything stupid. Can't be over the top. Can't be arrogant.
Cannot be myself then.
Yeah, no. I would. The first time.
Well played.
I would suggest not being yourself. The first. You?
Yeah. Me?
Him? You two? No.
Oh, man. You
no,
imagine yeah, me would, and Rob out together?
No.
That'd be great.
I mean, a little bit, yeah. All right. So, all right.
That'll be good, though.
I got some advice for you. We'll get that later on in the show. We got
new segment, Advice with Levine.
We got a lot to get to here. And so I embarrassed myself royally on Monday, which I tend to do. Although let me explain myself if I can. When I asked Patrick Mahomes about the dog thing, I wouldn't have brought up his dogs unless he brought up his dogs. And he brought up his dogs because C-Dot asked him about why he chose to do the baby reveal the way that he did. And he said, because my dogs are so important to me and Brittany. And I was going to ask him one of two questions. I asked the dumber of the two. Now I know that. I was going to ask him if he lets his dogs on his furniture. Mm-hmm. And I figured I'm probably not going to get a great answer. He'd be like, yeah, you know, unless they're outside in the mud and then they have to, you know, stay in the dog room. Nobody wants to hear that. We'd probably edit that out. Mm-hmm. So I decided to say, here's what I decided to say.
So I have a different voice for my dogs. It sounds like this.
Hi, Hanky Nashy, Daddy's home.
Do you have a different voice for your dogs?
And then he paused. And then he paused a little longer.
Because he was going to crush you is what he was.
And then he paused a little longer. That's not really Pat's style, but he was thinking about it. And then he said this.
I don't think so necessarily. I know Brittany does, but I don't know if I have a voice, but who knows, man.
Okay. I'm not going to call out the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't believe that he doesn't have a different voice. Something tells me when he goes home and greets his dogs that he's got a different voice. So you've heard what mine sounds like. I want to hear what yours sounds like first. Let's go out to Trevor in Kansas City. What up, Trevor? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so Trevor, what is your dog? Do you have one dog or multiple dogs?
I have multiple dogs. I have one dog that I generally come home and greet. I've got an 11-month-old Siberian Husky.
Okay, and what is that 11-month-year-old Siberian Husky's name?
His name is Kylo.
Okay. Kylo?
Yeah.
That's a cool name. Okay. And when you see Kylo, when you get home, Trevor, what does it sound like?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? How are you doing? Hi.
Yes.
Now, everybody has the high dog voice. I don't believe that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that. I love the guy.
Thank you, Trevor. I'm with you, man. I don't believe him either. I think he's a very honest gentleman, but I think that he has a dog voice. I think we all do. Trevor's was pretty good. If you think yours is better, 913-576-7610. Look, we're all family here. Nobody's listening. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Big T, what up, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call, man. You got Dirty World Wolf.
That's right, Big T.
Woo-hoo!
There we go.
But hey, you know, you guys, I don't have a dog, but I got a female kitty cat, and her name's Betty Boo.
Okay.
So when I come home, this is what I do to her. I go, beep-a-da-boop-a-da-boop-a, boop-a-da-beep-a-da-boop-a. Where's Booper Booperelli at?
Oh, my.
So that's kind of my deal with her, and she digs it, and she starts running around acting all crazy, and she gets the other cats fired up.
And there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Dusty, do you have a dog?
No, I don't own a dog.
Do you have a cat?
No, definitely no cats.
Have you ever had a dog?
I mean, my parents did. They had a Gizmo and Bandit.
And when you went home and saw Gizmo and Bandit, did you have a certain voice for Gizmo and Bandit?
No, I just like talk to him like a ski voice. Like, hey, pup skis, you going to go outside skis and play with the toy skis? Like, that's all I talked about.
See,
I'm
yours
weird.
Is different. That's what I'm saying. Like, I bet some people speak to theirs in like with a British accent or something. Is it Jerome? Let's go out to Jerome in Kansas City. What's your dog? What's your dog's name?
Here we go.
My dog's name is Beady. We call her Beady because she has two white spots over her eyes. It always looks like she's looking at you with beady eyes. But every morning when I get home and she can hear the garage come up, she's waiting right at the door, and of course I've got my dog voice. Hey, Beady girl, what are you doing there, Mama? Hey, that Beady girl, come on over here. Give me that Beady girl.
Okay.
So that's Jerome with Beady, who he refers to sometimes as Mama. Okay.
Rob, you doing okay over there?
I feel like I've taken this a little bit too far, and I apologize for that. We'll get one more in here. Let's get Ryan on the drive. What up, Ryan? How you doing, man?
Please be with Kasky.
What's up, dog?
Ryan, so you got a dog?
Yes, sir.
What's your dog's name?
Jeff.
What is it?
Say again?
What's your dog's name?
Pat.
Your dog's name is Pat?
Pat.
And what does it sound like when you go home and see Pat?
Big guy, when I come through the door, I look that dog right in the eye and I say, my name's big old Pat. Big Pat.
it's okay.
And I like how he said, I open the door, I look at that dog straight in the eye. I didn't know where he was going to go after that.
Like,
and
I was looking at Rob. I'm like, get ready.
I just gripped my hand. I don't have like a squeeze ball in here, but I was like, here we go. Hey, put your hand on the drop button.
For the dog lovers, you're welcome. For everybody else. I mean, everybody else, I apologize because you can't get back those last 2 minutes. So let's get back into the football where, speaking of not being able to get it back, guys, I don't know if Texas football or Nebraska football is really ever going to get it back. If you think about the where they were, they were definitely blue bloods. There's no question about that. Think about what Nebraska was during the 90s. Think about what Texas was with Vince Young and Colt McCoy and a bunch of different players. They were just an NFL factory. And then all of a sudden, Nebraska's become bad, irrelevant, and Texas has become somehow very average. I ask you this. Which one has fallen further in your mind? 913-576-7610. I would actually say it's Texas, and here's why.
Right.
And I know that Nebraska, by the numbers, is probably a little bit worse. It's Texas because Texas should be so easy to recruit to, the easiest to recruit to. You got the most money. You got the best facilities. You got some of the best alumni. Every kid from Texas plays in great facilities, and they want to be the quarterback at the University of Texas. And then you're average. It doesn't make any sense. So I would actually say, Dusty, that of the two, the further fall from grace has probably been Texas over Nebraska.
Yeah, I would probably disagree just because I feel like Texas has had a bad run at coaching. I think the talent has been there. I think the kids are getting in there. I just think that also the coaching hasn't been where, like, ever since, like, Mac Brown was gone, and I'm sure he, like, ran that thing down to the ground. They haven't had a lot of coaching there. Nebraska, you think about Nebraska, Levine, like, that was like football country. Like Scott Frost was going there to turn that thing around. It's still kind of like a slow, steady climb. I don't know if they're getting a lot better at all. I know that that Rob's a huge college football guy, but I just think that when it comes to the two schools, like Nebraska, like that was it. Like Texas had baseball, basketball, football. Nebraska, it was like big red country. It was football. And now it's like, why are we not getting Nebraska relevancy in college football? And it's kind of saddening. It's kind of strange just because of where they were in the 90s. And I get it. Teams and schools can go through different types of recruitment.
Well, it's just the coach. It's, I mean, right, you're making it way too difficult. It's just you got to hire the right coach.
Right. And Texas hasn't done that.
You want to hear a fun Mac Brown stat?
Please.
If Mac Brown had repeated his worst six seasons at Texas, which were 14-19.
Yeah.
If he'd repeated those six worst seasons in that window, that was Tom Herman. Texas would be 7 games better right now under that version of Mac Brown than they are under Tom Herman. Tom Herman's the wrong hire, and that's the whole deal. I think Scott Frost's a fine hire, but I agree. Texas is further down, like, is more embarrassing because their hires have been worse. Like, Charlie Strong, great guy, horrible hire. Didn't fit the culture. Scott Frost, good hire, but the guy before him, Oregon State guy, Bill Riley.
Yeah, Bill Riley.
Thank you. Mike Riley. Horrible hire, didn't fit the culture. You have to do a good job at head coach, especially at one of those programs, and their failures have highlighted that.
Well, you can miss the head coach once. You can't miss it twice, because once you miss it twice, then you miss like multiple recruiting classes, and then kids forget about you. It happens a lot. Think about Miami, like Miami football, for example.
Right.
If you miss the coach once, fine. People still remember the U. If you miss it twice, well, now you're 8 years removed. Think about
Kansas.
Think about, well, no. I mean, that's a little.
They've missed it 4 times.
That's like 14 years behind.
I don't want to give out miles yet. 3.
Not yet.
3 and a half.
But they missed it bad, those 3.5. Like, it hasn't been good at all. Like, there wasn't even like 2 years where it was nice. It was just all bad.
But we're talking more like it's difficult to stay at the blue blood level where Kansas, I'm a KU football fan. I've never confused them with a blue blood program, even when they were winning the Orange Bowl. I'm talking about what Miami used to be. Like, Miami used to be one of, if not the cachet college football program. Now, I don't know who the coach is. I don't know what's going on down there. Florida State, USC. Think about basketball. Back in my day, UCLA, Indiana, UConn. Like, these schools become irrelevant, and what happens is you miss on the coach multiple times. Go back, Rob, and tell me all the coaches for Nebraska since they had Tom Osborne. Because,
well, Solich. It's Solich. I think I knew this without looking.
Give it
up.
A shot.
It's Solich.
And Solich got a national championship, then they fired him. Like,
it's Solich, Pellini.
Yeah.
Mike Riley.
It's gone downhill
Scott
every
Frost.
Time. And you're forgetting Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan. Yeah.
It's basically
Callahan
gone,
before Pellini.
And that, you see what I'm saying here is it's gone downhill every single time. It's very hard. So if you, let's say you're Kentucky basketball, okay. And you miss the boat, and you...
And they did with Gillespie.
Right. But so afterwards, so they got Tubby Smith there. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, they're trying to find that guy for just like a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually, they get John Calipari.
Right.
Again, if it's more than, say, 3 or 4 years, the cycle of sports, especially in college, guys, just moves so fast. that you become irrelevant, which is why sometimes we look at what KU's done and what Duke's done, and we get so used to it. Now, of course, I'm talking basketball, not football.
Right.
And we get so used to it that it's kind of like, oh, that's what they're supposed to do. Being good or being great and relevant and having lottery picks every single year is so hard to do. I mean, even some of the blue chip schools that once were aren't that anymore. And so sometimes we just look at it, but it's such a difficult thing to do. But Nebraska football and Texas football are in a place where, honestly, I don't know how they build their way back. It feels like getting the coach is the beginning of that. At Texas, it's a little bit easier with recruiting. But does anybody think, dude, and I'm not asking Nebraska fans. I know there's a lot of Nebraska fans listening. I'm just trying to keep it real with y'all. Does anybody feel like they're even close to becoming relevant again?
I think that they, at the end of this year, or well, I guess last year, I think they were starting to make that turn.
They were a 28.5-point underdog in their first game.
I get it, but I think that,
like, Ohio State's different, too, though.
I get that, like, but we didn't see what the product was. It's Nebraska, and you're a 4-plus touch. That's not supposed to happen.
But I think that they're turning the corner. I think it's a little bit slower, because, like, what Rob was saying is, like, they were so down, and they moved to the Big Ten. I think the other problem that you're seeing with this is that just the power of the SEC these days in college football, like, it's so large, so many teams are going there that you have to compete with the SEC, which is the Alabamas, LSUs, Auburns, even Missouri kids are going to go there because they're playing the SEC. And that's another problem is that people don't want to go play in the Big Ten. Like, they just don't want to do that. They want to go play in the SEC. That's where primetime football is. I get it. The Big Ten still very heavily watched on TV. It's on Fox every Saturday. But the thing is, I think you also have to weigh in the fact that the SEC is where everybody wants to go, and that's where the coaching is. That's where the players go. And in fact, to your Miami point back in the 90s, that's almost like an outlier, because if you look at all the players that went to Miami and how many were successful in the pros, the list is, I mean, it's bigger than Levine's list in a complete week. There's so many talented players that went through that Miami system, and they had a very good coach that ended up going to coach the Dallas Cowboys that ended up winning a Super Bowl as well. So there's some factors into that, but I mean,
Texas football, though, has become worse than Texas athletics. I would say it's been coming up on a decade almost.
Big 12, man.
They've been worse than Baylor. They've been worse than Baylor. Like, Baylor was irrelevant. 10 years ago, before RG3, we didn't know anything about Baylor football. They were the one school that KU could beat, right? They were Baylor. Baylor basketball. Anybody remember Brian Skinner? This thing on? Brian Skinner? Hello?
The principal from The Simpsons?
No, that's
where they had all those issues with the murder in the desert.
Yeah, that's why I don't think we're bringing that up.
No.
It's a thing that happened. No, it's the program.
You're right.
And think about how long that should set you back for. The fact they didn't get rid of the program, that they just kept it around, and they were able to build themselves up and become better than Texas. Like, Kevin Durant went there. LaMarcus Aldridge went there. TJ Ford went there. Who else has gone there? It's just
Ricky Williams, Jamal Charles.
We're talking about Tristan back Thompson. In the day, though. Like, I mean, we're talking back about back in the day.
Charles on that national championship team.
Texas is just, how could the University of Texas, who's their AD? And how long has he been their AD? Because he's not good at his job.
I think it's Chris De La Conte.
I don't know who he is.
That's a hell of a pull, Rob, if you got that.
I don't know who, I think you're making that name
up. I think he's got it.
I'm going to Google it
up. There's no way. I don't know who
Chris De La Conte is the VP and athletic director of the University of Texas.
Well, he sucks.
Next time, start that with who is, and that way you're just nails on jeopardy. I think the text line makes a good point. Oklahoma State's caused Texas' downfall. Mike Gundy knows how to recruit. That's the team of the Big 12. Them in Oklahoma.
Is Oklahoma State stealing away players from Texas?
100%.
Okay, but I'm talking about 4 or 5 years ago when this started. If two kids had an
option. Oh, I think you're
talking about now. Well, it all started somewhere.
Then, because if he's recruiting, because Oklahoma State's been damn good for at least, 7, 8 years? So, it started back then, too. Gundy's mullet is doing it.
Damn good. They got one top 10 finish in this time we're talking about.
They're still
a
team
that damn good.
They got two top 10 finishes. They should win the Big 12 this year. They're a really good program.
Rob's this huge closet Oklahoma State fan.
No, he's a huge college football fan. But I'm just saying, like, the thing about it is that, like, that pays into a factor. Like, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are running the Big 12, whereas, like you said, times change and things develop differently.
Okay, let's say you're right. My question is a resounding why. How could Texas football all of a sudden not be a fertile recruiting ground?
I'll tell you why. Would you rather go work in an environment where you know it's successful, where you know you'll get along with the boss and you know it'll be a good day? Or would you rather go to work every day and struggle and hate your life and know that, like, it's not going to be productive at the end
of the
day?
That's what I do. I work with Carrington Harrison. What do you think I've chose? Come on, man.
Shots
by the
fired.
Way, he's out today. That's Dusty Likens sitting in. Rob Brenton on the buttons on the sports machine. Sean Levine.
Sean?
You know, speaking of that list that you were talking about, Rob, go ahead and fire it up. Today's Levine's list. Brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at. So, Bob Ross, you familiar with the works of Bob Ross?
You want me to talk to you about Bob Ross? That's one of the first things I showed the girlfriend one night when she hung out with me.
What are you talking about?
We watched Bob Ross on painting. We put a little quiet tree over in the corner. You don't tell anybody about that tree. It's our tree. It's a fun tree.
Why did she not immediately break up with you? She thought about it.
She thought about it. She goes, can we not watch Bob Ross ever again? I was like,
yeah.
I was like, that's fine.
Of course she said that.
Yeah.
Dude, that is
I like Bob. You had Netflix and the internet, and you're like, Bob Ross. Come on,
because
now.
I'm cheering
against you in this meeting tomorrow. I hope you fail.
That's the lamest thing that I've ever heard. At a first date,
it wasn't a first date.
You already had her back at the crib.
Stop. We were passing through the channels. We were hanging out, talking to each other. I was like, ooh, Bob Ross. Did you watch it as a kid?
He was so close, and then he put on Bob Ross, and then she quickly got up and left. Like, it's happened to the best of us.
It's our tree. You just don't have to worry about that tree. It's our tree.
I'll admit, sometimes when I get a girl home, if I think there's any chance of a relationship, and I'm happily with a girl now, so if she's listening, I'm talking about the past, baby. It's the, I got to be careful, because that's bit me a couple of times. Were you talking about me? Why weren't you talking about me?
By the way,
two
quick facts about Bob Ross. He used to be in the military and yelled a lot as a ship deck guy. And then he said the rest of his life he wouldn't yell at anybody. He's also a fan of little pocket squirrels. And the one that he's obviously passed away now. But the pocket squirrel that he had was called Peapod. And he kept it in his pocket during his paintings.
My goodness.
And every time he takes the paintbrush and washes out, he goes, you just go down there and you beat the devil out of it. Do it in your basement because your wife will get upset. I'm serious. I love Bob Ross.
Anyway, I used to bring girls home and we'd play one round at Jeopardy on YouTube. And if she beat me, then it was my kind of girl. Like, I need her to get a few right. And, like, I don't want her to get too many.
These days, we play Jeopardy on Alexa.
Can you do that?
You can.
Anyway, it's the Levine's List music. Speaking of Bob Ross, these are the 10 best kid shows on PBS. And there's a lot of them. Like, if you want to talk about the best kids networks of all time, I'll see your Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network and raise you a PBS. At number 10, the Berenstain Bears. Or Bernstein Bears.
I read the books. I never watched the show.
Both classic. Number 9, you familiar with the big red dog that is Clifford?
Mm-hmm.
At number 8, Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Bill Nye, the Science Guy. I don't follow a lot of people on Twitter. He's worth it. Bill Nye is a cool dude. And I'm being dead serious.
No, he's awesome.
Like, he's hilarious.
He's great.
At number 7, one of Rob's favorites, the Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
I used to wake up every single morning to the Magic School Bus.
That kid's name is Arnold, Miss Frizzle.
At number 6, Curious George. I like Curious George because he reminded me of a monkey version of the Woody Woodpecker. He was like a troublemaker. He's always getting himself into stuff.
I like the soundtracks. I think Jack Johnson did the whole thing in the movie.
I was going to say, not the original. That cannot be
true. Top Tech says Bob Ross is a god.
When I said Bob Ross, I was pretty sure you were going to start talking about Rick Ross, so I give you points just for knowing who Bob Ross is. The whole first date thing, though, is just that's one of the weird things I've heard. At number 5, Arthur, I believe was an aardvark. Number 4, Barney. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about back in the day. I can't watch Barney now. It makes me sick to my stomach.
They're trying to redo that, by the way.
I got a good Barney story. It's a good Barney Halloween story, actually. I got time? Yeah, I got a minute. So I bought my nephew. So when my nephew's parents, my sister, got divorced, she kind of was hard up on money, and I remember I asked her what my nephew wanted to be for Halloween, and she said he wants to be a big green dinosaur. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, but she goes, but I'm just gonna make him a fireman again like he was last year, you know. And so I thought, I'll be the uncle of the year and I'll go out. So I bought him the most expensive one I could find. I was living in Lawrence at the time. They had this Halloween shop on Mass Street, and I bought him. So Barney's friend was a big green dinosaur, if you remember.
Baby Bop,
I believe.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought that I was the uncle of the year, and I buy it for him, and I give it to him, and he puts it on. He's at school. And then I go, how'd it go over? You know, they're like, was he the man? And my sister goes, you know that Baby Bop wears a giant bow in his hair, right? So he just got made fun of the entire day.
Man.
And then when he went out, like, for Halloween later on that night, trick-or-treating, apparently my sister was able to do some work and, like, put a hat over the bow. So.
Make it look good. Somebody said Bill Nye at age 8. Smart kids.
Where was I? Since this train's been off the track now for about since you got in here.
Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, at 4. Let's see, we got 3. I'm up to number 3. Mr. Rogers, the original Mr. Rogers.
I just watched that movie with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers.
Movie's good.
It's very good.
Movie's
I cried.
Good. Yeah, you cried
for sure, 100%. Not like ball, but tears.
At number 2, Reading Rainbow.
LeVar Burton.
And then at number 1. Sesame Street. I think we would all agree Sesame Street.
So no Hey Arnold, no Doug, no Rugrats.
Well, dude,
no Rocket Power.
Okay, let me explain something to Dusty. Apparently never listens to the show. Levine's List is 10. But you're always free to add your own.
I love that, but I mean, like, those have got to be in your top 10.
Who would I knock off? I'm putting Hey Arnold on
Reading,
over.
I'd put it over Reading Rainbow. I'd put it over Barney.
This guy said he put over Reading Rainbow.
Yes, I would put Hey Arnold, Doug, and Rugrats all over Reading Rainbow.
Rugrats Magic is Nickelodeon before it was PBS, so I can't do that.
That's fine.
You're breaking the rules now.
I'm just saying, Berenstain Bears at 10?
Yeah.
I'd watch Hey Arnold, Doug, or Rugrats over there. Doug, Patty Mayonnaise? Like Skeeter?
Dusty.
Mr. Dink?
Rob, I'm the sports machine. Coming up next at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about sports right here on The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.